What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Saturday morning. I'm about to say Saturday morning. See, I get so caught up in my morning intro. If you don't know, I'm usually on from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Monday through Friday. It just becomes routine at this point. But happy Saturday to you. We are in Saturday evening for sure. So hope you all are doing well. Appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the station whenever, wherever you are. Appreciate my guy Dom Chirosky holding down behind the glass. Shout out to Turtle. Did a great job beforehand getting everybody ready for the hometown take. So I appreciate him as well. We're taking you up until 6:30. And that is when we're going to have Five Stripes action. Or at least they're going to get you ready for it. It'll be the Five Stripes countdown I'm taking you up to at 6:30 with Abe Gordon, who is going to join the program at some point during the show, either at 5:40 or 6 o'clock, depending on when they get connected down there at MBS, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as Atlanta United, vamos, vamos, ATL. They'll be back in the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium to take on NYCFC and try to get that what has been so far an elusive second win of the season for Atlanta United. So hopefully they can get 3 points at home. And by the way, we'll talk about this with Abe a little bit when he joins the show in about 37 minutes to an hour, but we don't need to panic about Atlanta United, by the way. I get it. The season hasn't resulted. We haven't gotten the results that we've wanted, but when you talk about what Atlanta United has done over the season thus far, I mean, getting a point, managing a point, and I know a lot of it was thanks to an own goal last week, so I get that. I understand that aspect of it. I get that point, but when you talk about them being able to salvage a point on the road last week and them getting some bad breaks, not being able to finish in the final third, they haven't been bad. They've had some really good first halves, haven't necessarily been able to replicate that in all their second halves. So they just got to find a way to do that. They just got to fine-tune some things and really put it together in that final third and get some balls in the back of the net. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I feel like for Atlanta United defensively, they've been solid, beside obviously some lapses here and there that you got to clean up. But I don't think it's really time to panic when you talk about Atlanta United. I just feel like they have been better than what their record shows thus far. So we'll talk more about that with Abe Gordon coming up here in a little bit. But I want to start off by talking about the Atlanta Braves, because it's not been a great first two games on a couple of accords. And look, I am not here to debate. We're going to start this conversation off by me saying this. I am not here to debate, and I am not here to make you believe that the Braves' main problem isn't the bullpen, okay? I believe it. I'm sure at this point what you've seen so far, you believe it. The Braves' lack of bullpen depth and their really lack of bullpen depth, that's the best way to put it, has been the Achilles heel of the team so far. I was worried about it going into the season. Maybe you were worried about it going into the season as well, but I know I was for sure. So it's come to rear its ugly head in the first two games of the season. You have an opening day, a late lead. You bring in Hector Neris in the seventh inning, and he stinks up the joint. Then, yesterday, Braves lose 4-3 to the Padres, go start the season 0-2, and you have a game-tying home run by Jarred Kelenic, which was refreshing to see, and we'll get into the offense here in just a second. But then you have the bullpen yet again give up a late one. Dylan Lee, who did a really good job, by the way, coming in that first game in a high leverage-ish situation, and he held him. He had a perfect inning. And unfortunately, this time around in game number two, was not the same. Gave up a solo shot and gave up the lead, and it was turned out to be giving up the lead for good. So, yes, the Braves' bullpen has been the main problem. Again, we're not debating that. I am not trying to make you feel like the Braves' main problem is something else. However, what I do want to tell you, and what I am thinking right now, is that there are other fingers to be pointed elsewhere. Is the biggest finger, is maybe the index finger, pointed at the Braves' bullpen saying, hey, you need to tighten up. We need you to be a little more consistent. Yes. However, there are some other maybe smaller fingers pointed elsewhere. Let's think about this. Okay, the bullpen hasn't been good. Yes, I've been happy to see the Braves get some clutch home runs, one being Austin Riley to take the lead on opening day. Ozzie Albies, even before that, hit a clutch, two-run home run to give the Braves back the lead. And then obviously Austin Riley to take the lead back again. And then Jarred Kelenic, a clutch solo shot to tie the game. So, yes, there have been some clutch homers, and I absolutely love to see it. I love to see the clutch hitting. However, that's been the only clutch hitting that has happened so far because the Braves, first two games of the season, they are 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position in their first two games. 1-for-16. They were 1-for-9 yesterday and 0-for-7 on Thursday in opening day. That ain't going to cut it ever. That dog won't hunt ever. So, again, big finger pointed at the bullpen because the Braves have come up with some clutch hits and clutch home runs. Don't want to, again, let that go by the wayside. But the Braves have had other opportunities, and they have not taken advantage of those other opportunities. 1-for-16 Warner in scoring position. Guess what? You probably deserve to be 0-2 at this point, if we're being frank about it. So that's another aspect where the Braves need to tighten up, need to get better. You cannot continue being absolutely terrible with the way they've been hitting with runners in scoring position right now. Cannot continue. 1-16 with runners in scoring position for your first two games. Cannot continue. And then this is probably the smallest complaint that I have, but it is still a complaint, and I still think it is a little bit of a thing that we need to point out. Both starting pitchers were good. They were okay. They were solid. Chris Sale, I think, will obviously, and Reynaldo Lopez for that matter, they'll both get better. And we'll see what Spencer Schwellenbach does on the mound tonight as the Braves are on Big Fox. But we'll preview that a little bit later here in a couple of minutes. But Chris Sale, 5 innings, gave up 3 runs. Not great. Not terrible, but not great. Reynaldo Lopez, 5 innings, gave up 3 runs. Not terrible, not great. Both could be better. Both could have pitched better. So, again, that's probably my smallest gripe because the Braves did tie the game, take the lead after both of those situations, and the bullpen messed you up, and the offense didn't do anything with runners in scoring position. So, those are my two bigger gripes there, obviously. But starting pitching can be better, too. So you have to take that into consideration. And you have to talk about that when you talk about what has gone wrong for the Braves so far in these first two games of the season. Now, again, we're pointing all these out, and we're talking about this 2 games in just because that has been the storyline thus far. The bullpen hasn't been good. The offense hasn't been good with hitting with runners in scoring position. They've hit clutch home runs, yes, but haven't done well hitting with runners in scoring position. 1-for-16, as I just told you. And then the starting pitching, just mid, okay, not great. Not terrible, but not great, just mid. So those are the talking points over the first 2 games of the season. However, it's still only 2-of-162. We still got 160 games left, y'all. It's a long season. Now, I don't want to act like if the Braves start 0-7, everything's just honky-dory and everything's just all daisies and roses, because it ain't. It won't be. The Braves need to find a way to get a split with San Diego, and hopefully they can take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. So I don't want to negate the fact that the Braves need to tighten up and tighten up right now because you don't want to start behind the eight ball. Now, I will say this, though. The Braves won the World Series in 2021, right? Right? Y'all remember what their record was to start the 2021 season? Anybody? Anybody? 0-4. Now, again, you wouldn't like to do it that way, but history does tend to repeat itself. We all know that. Braves start 0-4, and they get their first win after four losses to start the season. Hey, I'm going to be like, okay, well, let's just go win another World Series then. And again, them starting 0-4, obviously I know I'm being tongue-in-cheek, doesn't mean that they're going to win the World Series just because they went 0-4 like they did in the 2021 season. But they're 0-2 for the first time since starting 0-4 in 2021, which is, again, when they won the World Series. So that's something of note there as well. But again, no need to panic. No need to get all up in arms. There's no need to hit the panic button or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying at all. But bullpen does need to tighten up. Offense needs to tighten up when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position. And the starting pitching could be better. So I've liked the home run swing that we've had so far. Austin Riley's already got one. I was trying to decide between if I was going to say Austin Riley or Ozzie Albies. I got stuck in Aussie like I was in Australia. Cronky, mate. But Austin Riley's already got one. Ozzie's already got one. Jared Kelnick, of all people, have already got one. If you would have told me Jared Kelnick was going to hit the Braves' third home run of the season, probably would have said, no, I'll take anybody else. I'll take the field. But good to see him. Hopefully he can build off that and get off to a hot start. So I've liked the home run power so far. We knew this Braves team was going to be more than capable of hitting home runs, more than capable of having the big swings. But got to do the other stuff right, too. Got to hit with runners in scoring position. I hope at some point, and I know part of this is because Ronald Acuña Jr. isn't back, and he's kind of that guy that does this for the Braves, but can we show some sort of aggression on the base pass? Just a little bit? Last time I checked, Michael Harris ain't slow. Last time I checked, Ozzie Albies ain't slow. Like, we got some guys that can run a little bit. Like, at least threaten a little bit. On opening day, I mean, the Padres were very, very aggressive on the base path. And I know Fernando Tatis is a little bit of a different athlete than an Ozzie or a Michael Harris. But still, can we do something? Show a little aggression? Dang. Is that too much to ask? And hopefully we add that back into our more of our offensive repertoire when Ronald Acuña Jr. comes back. But at least can we show something right now? But anywho, again, the main finger is pointed at the bullpen. Yes, they are definitely the Achilles heel of the Braves right now. They're the biggest weakness of the Braves right now. I'm not debating that at all. However, 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position ain't going to get the job done. That deserves a mention. That deserves a complaint. And then both of your starting pitchers going just 5 innings and giving up 3 runs. Could be better, too. So I know the biggest gripe right now is about the bullpen, but that shouldn't be our only gripe, is what I'm telling you, Braves fans. All right, Braves back in action tonight, 7:15 on Big Fox, as they try to get their first win of the season, and hopefully they can get a split against the San Diego Padres that they win tonight and tomorrow. Already told you, Spencer Schwellenbach, going to be on the mound tonight for the Bravos. The Bravos will try their hand against Randy Vasquez. So we'll see if the Braves can continue to get some things going offensively and maybe have a little bit of a – they've been pretty good offensively, so I'm not going to say an outburst, but hopefully they can have somewhat of an outburst. Maybe we get 6-7 instead of 4 or 3. We'll see. All right, when we come back, though, here on the Hometown Take, we not only got baseball happening, Braves baseball happening, but the tourney in full swing and in full effect, and we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. We'll update you on the men's and women's NCAA tournament happenings when we come back here on the Hometown Take about 5 minutes from now. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Saturday. Hope you all are doing well. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Not super sunny, but I will say this. It feels amazing outside. I was playing some basketball out on a court, outdoor court today just because it felt good out there and was running with some guys. Won four games in a row, by the way. And I have a little story that I'm actually going to tell you when we get closer to Grilling Dylan at 6:20. That's a segment where we can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. I'll be honest. So shout out to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. It's kind of basically an Ask Me Anything. But I have a specific question that I'll get into then. Basically, I'll go ahead and tease the question now. What were you a late bloomer at? Or is there anything that you feel like you were a late bloomer at? Because I play a lot of basketball now, try to stay in somewhat of a good shape and try to get some sort of exercise. And basketball is my first love. And that's the thing I play the most and am the best at by far, even though I feel like I'm a pretty good, like, ultimate Frisbee player, by the way. But, you know, and flag football, I feel like I could be a solid, you know, wide receiver two or something like that. But anywho, basketball, definitely my favorite sport, my first love, the sport I'm the best at. And I played in high school. I never played varsity. I played ninth grade in JV, but that's for a couple of different reasons. But one of those reasons is I feel like I was really a late bloomer. Like, I feel like, you know how you hear guys in the NBA say that the game is starting to slow down for them? Really, any sport, not just the NBA, but you hear NFL players say it all the time, too, like quarterbacks. They talk about how the game is slowing down for them. And I feel like that's really happened with me. Like, I feel like I'm really a late bloomer. Like, I feel like if I was, obviously, I'm older and maybe wiser, and I feel like, obviously, you're going to get better as time goes and as you keep playing. But I don't know. I just feel like I was really a late bloomer at basketball. Like, I was always solid. I always had a good shot. I could always shoot the mid-range. I could even shoot the three. But I've become a better shooter, like, hitting pick and rolls, because I'm about 6'2 and a half, 6'3, somewhere around there, you know, with shoes on. Who knows? Depending on how big the shoes are, I may get up to, like, 6'3 and a quarter. Anywho. I'm usually always one of the biggest, if not the biggest person on the court or the tallest person on my team. That being said, I'm in a lot of pick and rolls. And back in middle school, high school, when I was playing, I was always the center, the power forward. When I was in AU, I played a little bit of, like, small forward because we had bigger dudes. But point being, I feel like I'm a lot better in the pick and roll now. Also, too, I'll say this. The reason I wasn't as good as I am now, I feel like during that middle school and high school time, I was going through my growth spurt and my equilibrium was off. Like, for some reason, sometimes it was just really hard for me to catch the ball. Like, I did not have good hands at all. So I just feel like it was really hard for me to catch the ball sometimes. And obviously that hurt. Like, point guard are going to pass you the ball or drop the ball off to you if you feel like you ain't going to catch it and do nothing with it. So I feel like obviously my hands are a lot better now because I'm not growing anymore, and obviously my shot has gotten better, my handle's gotten a little better, so I just feel like I'm a late bloomer at basketball. And you know, I'm 20, I just turned 29 a couple of weeks back, so I ain't going to the league at this point, obviously. So, you know, we'll just keep, you know, dominating.
You never know. Who was the one guy on the Lakers who was in the G League for like a decade?
But see, I ain't even going to the G League at this point.
I feel like we could get you on the Skyhawks and you could do something.
I hope so. Hey, if you feel like you can make it happen, if we feel like we can pull some strings and make some calls, I'm all for it. Sign me up. But I just feel like at this point, you know, it may be over for me as far as professionally goes. Now, look, I still got a lot of years left in me as far as the rec game and you know, balling on the side, on the outdoor courts and pickup. I still got a lot of pickup years left in me, but as far as professional, I don't know. But hey, I'm open to it for sure. Anywho, I tell you that story and I say all that to say, I feel like I'm a late bloomer when it comes to my basketball skills. What do you feel like you're a late bloomer at? If you have any thoughts on that, we can take your calls, you know, throughout the rest of the show since I already teed you up for it. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. We're going to talk some more basketball here in just a second as the NCAA tournament on the men's and women's side is going on. We got a really good game happening right now between Tennessee and Texas on the women's side, 63-59. Texas is up there, a one seed, taking on the five-seeded Volunteers. And that game coming down to the wire, just over 3 minutes left to go in the game. Again, Texas only up four. And we'll talk more about the other happenings in the women's and men's tournament here in just a second. Real quick, though, I will ask you Mr. Dom, do you feel like, is there anything you feel like you might be a late bloomer at?
A late bloomer? That's a really good question. I'm trying to think. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a late bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
As more as just, I think I didn't really know what I wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think in the sense of like finding what my passion was, which obviously was this, wasn't really something that hit me. Like, I feel like a lot of people, at least with my friends, kind of had an idea of what they wanted to do in high school.
Yeah.
And I thought I did, but like I got to college and like my freshman year, it became very clear to me that I didn't. But yeah, so I think just in that sense, I would say I'm a little bit of a late bloomer in that sense.
That's legit. Yeah, as far as like kind of your career path goes, and like you said, what your passion is, you're a late bloomer in that respect. So I respect that. I like that a lot. And if you got any thoughts on that, or if you feel like you're a late bloomer at a sport, or if you feel like you were just maybe a late bloomer overall, just let me know. What it could be about your looks. I know some people, you know, have that glow up period where, you know, between whether it's like, you know, freshman year in high school to sophomore in college or whatever the case may be, you feel like you had a late bloom when it comes to your looks. Obviously your height, your skills on the basketball court or the football field or whatever it may be. If you feel like you're a late bloomer in any area, you can call me up right now, 404-726-0929, and we will take your comments on that. And we can talk about that during Grill and Dylan as well, where we can talk about whatever you like. Yeah, that's coming up at 6:20, so a little bit less than an hour from now, right before we wrap up the show as we hand things off to Atlanta United. Vamos, ATL! As we hand things off to the Five Stripes Countdown with Abe Gordon, who is going to join us in about 10 minutes, by the way. We'll chop it up with Abe Gordon about the Five Stripes. And also a very funny story to tell between me and Abe today. Just a lot of funny stuff that happened between Abe and I over the last few hours. So we'll talk about that with Abe again coming up in about 10 minutes here. He'll join us live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium as he's going to get you ready for Atlanta United taking on NYCFC after we're done here in an hour's time. But while we've got still some time to play with, let's talk about the NCAA tournament on the women's and the men's side. I updated you on the Tennessee-Texas game. Texas still up 4 with a minute 47 left to go in the game. So one-seeded Texas trying to hold off 5-seeded Tennessee and go to the Elite Eight, as that is a Sweet 16 game. A game that was already played in a ticket that was already punched to the Elite Eight. How about number 2, TCU taking down number 3, Notre Dame, 71-62. Haley Van Lith, she continues her dominance here in this NCAA tournament. 26 points, 4 assists, 9 rebounds for Van Lith, as she continues to prove that her making this move to TCU was really good. And I think maybe some people were maybe a little bit surprised. I wasn't surprised when she said she was transferring to TCU after failing to get the job done at LSU. I wasn't surprised. Maybe some people were, but that it seemed like she was going to LSU to try and kind of complete a super team.
She was chasing a ring.
She was chasing a ring for sure.
It was never a good fit. She never looked comfortable.
Exactly.
At LSU,
exactly. And Dom, I am so happy you said that because you teed me up for my point. She was averaging 19.7 her final season at Louisville. Remember, she spent 3 years at Louisville before going to LSU, and then now she's at TCU. She averaged 19.7 her final season at Louisville. Remember, she gave – who was this she gave a run for her money? She gave some team, or one of those teams – I don't think it was LSU. She gave one of the prominent teams a run for their money with Louisville in the tournament the final year she was in it with Louisville. But anywho, averaged 19.7 at Louisville. Then again, she kind of took a back seat at LSU the 1 year she was at LSU because they had Andrew Reese, they had Flaje Johnson, they had Alexis Morris, etc. Her average points per game average dropped to 11.7, from 19.7 to 11.7. But then she leaves LSU, and again, to Dom's point, he's absolutely right. They were ring chasing. But now she goes to TCU, a much better fit. They made her the centerpiece of that offense, and now she's getting buckets again. Like I said, dropped 26 tonight. She's averaged 17.7 this season. So, look, she had the big three to take a 62-55 lead over Notre Dame earlier today And that gave her TCU's single season scoring record for points scored in a season. And earlier this year, she had already broken the single season assist record for her lone season with the program. So she is balling at TCU, and she continues to prove that she made the right move. And she is now the only player to lead three different schools, Louisville, LSU, and now TCU. She's the only player to lead three different schools to Elite Eight appearances in NCAA history, men's or women's. So congratulations to Haley Van Lith. I wanted to show her a little bit of love. UConn, they're going to take on Oklahoma. Two-seeded UConn going to take on Oklahoma in just a bit here. Number one USC takes on number five Kansas State. And we'll see if our girl Kiki Iriefen, she stepped up big time against number nine Mississippi State the other night in the round of 32. 36 points, 9 rebounds. Obviously, Juju Watkins unfortunately tore ACL in the very beginning of that game, but Kiki stepped up, had 36-9. She's going to have to step up again, or somebody on that USC team is going to continue to have to step up big time. And then, of course, it could be a team effort for sure. They have some balanced scoring, but there's going to have to be somebody on that team that they can go to for a timely bucket. Juju was that girl for USC. Now she's gone. So who's going to be that go-to girl for USC now? All right, we got to catch a break. On the other side, we will talk to our man, Abe Gordon, super producer for the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, also host of the Abe TL Show, and the host of the Five Stripes Countdown right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, which you will hear less than an hour from now with Abe himself. He's going to join me live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium next as we continue to get you ready for Atlanta United taking on NYCFC. That's coming up next, about 6 minutes from now, here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Saturday. Hope you all are doing well this evening. Hope you all are enjoying your weekend thus far. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can take the station wherever, whenever. All right, we are joined by a very special guest now, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And that is one Abe Gordon, super producer for the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, host of the Abe TL Show. And also, he is about to get you ready for some Five Stripes action, as he is also the host of the Five Stripes Countdown, which you're going to hear at 6:30 as soon as we are done here. But Abe, kind enough to join some time, spend some time with us now. Abe, what is going on, man? How you doing, brother?
Just getting all my final details ready for the game, you know, details like start time, kick time, that sort of thing. look, we're ready for a really nice matchup against NYCFC here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And for Atlanta United, it's a situation where, in my mind, they have performed and played decently well, but we've talked about it all week. The results not to show. It's point-wise and through the first five games, the worst start in Atlanta United franchise history, but it doesn't necessarily feel that way by performance. Expecting to get a lot of players back from the international break as well, and hopefully turn one of these draws or losses into the full 3 points starting tonight.
You said a couple of things there, Abe, that I want to touch on. Let's first touch on the international window. Obviously, that window was from the 17th up until the 25th, so players are back now. Should we expect a pretty much, and I know there are injuries too, and we don't know the starting lineups yet, the starting 11 yet, but should we expect a pretty much first choice lineup for the Five Stripes?
Well, the one we do know is Tristan Moyamba, who suffered a knee injury last game, and actually relatively good news compared to the initial fears on that. He's going to be out a couple of weeks, including tonight, but he had taken control of the midfield. So we'll be interested to see who's going to be paired with the returning Bartosz Sliszcz. It will be interesting to see which of those returning members are going to slot right back into the lineup. A lot of them maybe a little easier travel than those who are Europe-bound or were returning from Europe. So we'll see. But, yeah, I expect a relatively first-choice lineup with Slam up top, as we've dubbed them, and expecting Steve Deion Gregerson in the back to return, and then we'll just ask the question about Sleash and who in the midfield. It might even be the youngster who performed very well last week. So we'll see. We'll see.
I love it. All right. We'll see indeed. Abe, another thing I want to ask you, we both probably know that when we get to Jason's keys to the match, one of those keys is probably going to be trying to put some pressure on NYCFC right away. How do they do that, though? How can the Five Stripes put that pressure in and kind of put that almost kind of vice grip on NYCFC right away, maybe get some turnovers and hopefully get some early goals?
Well, I think it's an interesting thought because I don't think it's something you necessarily do or force. I think when lucky, it just comes and it happens. And this is a team that have been very dominant in the first halves of these games, but only a time or two have they had anything to significant to show for it. And one of those times, obviously, was the season-opening win against Montreal, in which they scored 5 minutes before half. That was Latte Lass' first goal, and we were off and running in that game. We haven't really seen that since. They've played very well and have not found the back of the net. I'm not sure there's much you can actually do to change that up. I mean, you could sit here and say maybe a better touch or two there, maybe a little bit tighter here. But in general, I think those goals are just going to come as you continue to play. And Ronnie Dyla has had some comments this week, and I've said this as well, and we're going to talk about it on the Five Stripes Countdown starting at 6:30 as well, is when do you get to a situation where the results match the performance? And that's not just about how you play and did you get 3 points, but it is how dangerous did you look and do you actually touch the back of the net? And so I don't think you stress it and do something different than what you're doing. I think you play the way you've been playing. I think you feel dangerous and hope that the end result is better. But I don't think it's something where you could say if we did this differently or did that differently, we'd have a goal. It really hasn't been like that.
I completely agree, and I'm glad this is something else you brought up earlier that I want to get into. I'm with you. Atlanta United has performed so much better than what their record indicates. Obviously, one win, two draws, two losses. But it just feels like you said, the first halves they've been able to put together, even some of the second halves they've been able to put together, it just feels like they've performed so much better than what their record is right now. However, their record is what it is because of a few certain reasons. And I want to get your thoughts on what you think maybe those biggest reasons are. Is it because they've had a couple of defensive lapses, one too many defensive lapses in the second half? Or do you think it's just been their inability to finish in that final third?
I think it's the inability to finish. You can look at the goals that they've conceded. And you had a couple really bad bounces against Charlotte that led to two goals, Inter Miami and Cincinnati a week ago as well. The one thing you do have to tighten up specifically is that against Charlotte, you gave up two goals in 5 minutes. So what happened in the 5 minutes between goal one and goal two? And then you saw the exact same thing last week against Cincinnati. That was, I think, in 4 minutes, both to Evander. And so got to be a little bit tighter in those moments after conceding. And we've seen this at times, right? You got to be better coming out of halftime. They've addressed that a little bit. And this is the new aspect that I think they really need to focus on is, okay, you conceded. Dial it back in and make sure you don't concede. You've let one goal turn into two already too many times this season. That can't happen again tonight here against NYCFC. But yes, I mean, I agree with you. I think ultimately you've been dangerous and don't have the goal totals to show for it.
Right.
This was a theme all year last year. We talked about the XG and where they were fourth in the league or whatever the numbers were in XG and how many actual goals that they had. And so you need to see those numbers get a little bit closer. And again, I just don't think there's anything specific that you can do. I think, and it's weird to say this, sometimes you just have really bad luck. And they've been on a run, in my opinion, of decently bad luck. And hopefully that turns around tonight.
So let me piggyback off of that. And it is Abe Gordon, host of the Five Stripes Countdown, super producer for the Midday Show, Andy and Randy, and, of course, host of the Abe TL Show as well. He's going to bring you the Five Stripes Countdown here at 6:30 when we wrap up this edition of the Hometown Take. But to build off of what you just said, Abe, if I had to ask you what is going to be the single most important thing for Atlanta United to get their second win of the season at home, would you say it's just finishing in the final third, maybe just having a little bit of more luck in that area, or is it something else?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the binary code answer, if we're going to be black or white here, is finishing, right? You have to get the goal when you're dangerous. But a little bit more detailed than that, I still think there's a long way to go with communication, especially up top. And obviously it did not help the communication a week ago that Miguel Almiron was out taking part with the international break, and Saba was still here, and they moved Saba to the right side, and we saw some danger there. But I think the communication from Maranchuk to the three guys who were supposed to be scoring the goals, Saba, Miggy, and, of course, Lotte Loth, that still hasn't progressed right to where it needs to be. I think when we talk about you are dangerous and there's maybe that final moment isn't quite there yet, I think it's because of that communication. I think everyone's trying to figure out what run they're going to make and where everyone else is going to be. And Maranchuk on top of that is then trying to figure out, all right, which pass am I playing? And I think we did see some progression of that last week and hope to see that more. There were a couple of moments where you say, man, if there was a little bit better communication, a little bit more understanding of what they're doing as a team up top, they probably would have had a goal as opposed to keeper makes a save or they hit the crossbar, put it off the post, something like that. So along with, again, the very simple answer of, yeah, just score more goals, communication in that final third leading to that final touch I think has been progressing but still has a ways to go.
It is Abe Gordon here, host of the Five Stripes Countdown. Follow him at Abe Gordon on social media, on the X. Make sure you give him a follow. Always giving you good insight on all things Atlanta sports. Abe, I want to ask you this, too. We have talked about kind of the flaws that Atlanta United has had throughout the season and the unluckiness, for lack of a better term, that Atlanta United has had throughout this season. But I want to go in the opposite direction. What have you been pleasantly surprised by? Is there anything you've been pleasantly surprised by when it comes to what Atlanta United has done in their first handful of matches?
Yeah, I think the midfield has been a real strength, and we weren't really sure with a number of midfielders in tow how it was going to look, who was going to be alongside. Now, you knew Bartosz Ślisz was going to be a starting midfielder, and we weren't sure exactly who was going to be lined up with him. There was a question mark about would it be Jay Fortune, who's a young player that really progressed quite a bit last season. Is it going to be Mateusz Glik, who they traded for with DC United? Guy had, 14 or 16 assists last season. Maybe he adds to the attack. And Tristan Moyabo was kind of the forgotten man, and he had stepped in game three and had really locked it down next to next to Ślisz. And unfortunately, with the injury there, he's going to be taken out. We saw Will Riley step in, another youngster academy kid, come in and play very strongly. So look, I haven't been like overly impressed or surprised on a negative manner by the defense.
Right.
I certainly haven't been wowed or amazed up top. Lotte Loftus has four goals, and that's something to talk about there. But in general, the entire attack hasn't been, wow, amazing. But I think the midfield has been very good, especially against a couple teams dialing into Red Bulls, that forces the midfield to make mistakes. They really didn't do that in the scoreless draw against Red Bulls. So the midfield has been good.
There you have it. Okay, Abe, we have a few more minutes left, and I want to ask you a couple of fun questions because I teased this earlier. You and I had a interesting last couple hours, interesting morning, let's put it that way. It is Abe Gordon, by the way, host of the Five Stripes Countdown, super producer for the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, and also host of the ABTL Show as he joins me here for a few more minutes. Follow him at Abe Gordon on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Okay, Abe, I'll just go back probably the past like 48, maybe not quite 48 hours, but we'll go back to yesterday. I invited you, or maybe it was a couple days before that.
It was Friday.
Okay. So yesterday, I told you we were talking, and Abe, if you don't know, he is the resident runner on Sports Radio 929 The Game here. And, you know, we're always talking about, you know, what he's doing and how he's running and how, you know, his runs are going. So I told him that Simone, my girlfriend, and I were going on a 5K. And so I told him, hey, if you want to, you know, show up, you're more than welcome to. Well, Abe is the only one that made the 5K this morning. I didn't check behind Simone. She had signed us up, so I kind of let her run point on that. Long story short, we thought the 5K this morning started at 9 a.m. Started at 8:15 a.m. And Abe is notoriously an early arriver, which is great, by the way. That's not to take a shot at Abe. He is always good about getting somewhere early. So when he texted me at 7:37 and 7:40 to, you know, try and link up before the race, I was like, oh, okay, Abe just there early. It's all good. But when we got there, people were finishing, and we were like, what? And then Simone rechecked her email and saw the race actually started at 8:15. So we left. But Abe finished. He was there on time, and he finished the race. And I want to give some love to Abe. Abe, you finished the race. 22:50 was your 5K time, which is really good 5K time. My question to you is, my good sir, how did you do it? How did you do it this morning?
Yeah, this one was interesting because, you know, a couple of weeks ago in a Peachtree qualifier, the Leprechaun 5K, like I went hard out the gate, really fast first mile, and I came in a little bit faster than I did today. I knew this one today was hilly, and I really didn't have the mindset to race it. And so for whatever reason, I went out hard, but not full on like I did a couple weeks ago, and just kind of held for as long as I could. The good news is around golf courses, right? The hills are they're kind of rolling. There's a little bit up, a little bit down. There's no massive gargantuan peaks you have to climb. So just 1 foot in front of the other, keep going. And I shortened up the water break. That was the other thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, normally I like to walk for like 10 seconds, drink the whole cup of water. Today was like one quick swig, throw the rest of the water out, and keep running. It was probably a 2 second pit stop. Man. Will make the NASCAR guys jealous. So, you know, just 1 foot in front of the other and see how long you can hold out for.
There you go. Abe Gordon getting it done. All right, Abe, I got one more question for you / comment. So, Abe, me and Abe also linked up for a half a second today. I play basketball. I was telling you all earlier how I was playing basketball, and I feel like I'm a late bloomer when it comes to my basketball skills. So I was playing at a court very close to where Abe lives, and so I saw Abe and I saw his dog Chipper. We chopped it up for a minute in between my games, and we won 4 games in a row, Abe, because, you know, like I said, I'm like that. Anywho, is there anything that you feel like you're a late bloomer at? Like, do you feel like at any point you've had a late bloom when it comes to any sort of skills or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm running for one.
Yeah.
I hadn't run since high school, and for a number of years I wasn't. Not only was I not active, but when I got back to running, it was like my first time running. I couldn't run a half mile to save my life, and then when I could run a half mile, I could only do it slowly. So a little bit of running. Other than that, like, I mean, it, everything else, I pretty much am an early adopter of, man. Like, I was on movie, especially technology stuff. Like, I was on MoviePass way back in the day when it was in beta.
Oh, wow.
I had joined and quit Snapchat before most of the kids had even heard of it. I was part of
the beta.
Well,
you know, Snapchat has made a comeback now, Abe.
Yeah, I know. But I was back when Snapchat was beta. In a beta release, so I'm pretty up to tune with what's going on. So I don't think I'm late to the party with too much of that stuff.
I love it, man. Abe, thank you so much for the time. One more time, make sure you follow Abe Gordon at Abe Gordon on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. He is the host of the Five Stripes Countdown, which you'll hear in a little bit less than an hour's time, closer to 30 minutes actually than anything. And then he's also super producer for the Midday Show, Andy Aranny, host of the ABTL Show. Abe, thanks for a few minutes, man. Appreciate you, and have a good one.
Yeah, man, there's another 5K tomorrow morning. I'll text you the deets.
Yeah, I ain't going to be making that one. Hey, look, I won 4 games in a row on the court today. My everything is sore down low, brother.
All I saw was a passive power forward watching
teams
run up and down. I may have come at the wrong time.
You did.
Yeah, sure.
Abe, I told you, you came at the time. You came at the game after that I dominated.
I can only judge by what I saw.
I scored,
and I don't think you touched the ball a single time.
I scored the first 4 points of the game prior, so you just came at the wrong time, dog. I was passing at that point because they were guarding me harder.
Long stretches of inactivity.
Man, appreciate you, Abe. Have a good one, brother.
See you, Dylan.
See you, man. That is my guy, Abe Gordon here, fellow colleague here on Sports Radio 929 The Game, host, of course, of the Five Stripes Countdown, super producer for the Midday Show with Andy Arandy, and host of the ABTL Show, which you can hear on the weekends and sometime during the week as well. And just as I was talking, no lie, I literally just caught a cramp. That's how sore I am. I literally just caught a cramp. So I'm going to drink some more water while we go into the break and not try to scream in agony. And when we come back here, we're going to hit some NFL headlines. Deion changing his tone a little bit. And one very deserving coach just got a contract extension. That's coming up next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Saturday. I appreciate you all tuning in. Hope you all having a great weekend. And if you are like me and you are a crazy sports fan, then you got a lot of good stuff coming up here soon. Texas Tech about to take on the Florida Gators here, just coming up in a few minutes. And that music Dom came back with, that always reminds me of playing basketball, too. It ain't the March Madness theme, but, hey, I still, whenever I hear that, I think about basketball as well. So March Madness continuing. We'll talk a little bit more March Madness before Grill and Dylan. We talked a lot about the women's side and kept you updated on that. Haley Van Lith dropping 26 points earlier today to help number 2-seeded TCU beat number 3-seeded Notre Dame 71-62. Haley Van Lith now hit a big three-pointer to have put TCU up 62-55 and give the Horned Frogs that lead over the Fighting Irish. And that three she hit to give TCU a 62-55 lead. That gave Haley Van Lith TCU's single season record for points scored in a season. And if you remember early in the season, she had already broken the single season assist record for her one season that she's played with the Horned Frogs thus far. So, look, she's also the only player, men's or women's player, to lead three different schools to the Elite Eight in NCAA history. So shout out to Haley Van Lith for getting the job done yet again earlier today. Texas, number 1-seeded Texas, ended up holding on to take down number 5-seeded Tennessee, 67-59, ended up being the final score there. Later on, UConn, 2-seeded UConn, Paige Beckers and the Huskies take on number 3, Oklahoma, and then later on tonight as well, too, USC, number 1-seeded USC without Juju Watkins, going to take on number 5, Kansas State. And we'll see if Kiki Irifin can step up for the Trojans yet again. 36 points, 9 rebounds against Mississippi State to help get USC here to the Sweet 16. But they're going to need another effort like that from her, somebody on that Trojans team to get them to the Elite Eight. So we'll see what happens there. But we'll give you an NCAA tournament update here on the men's side coming up in about 14 minutes from now. As Auburn, I will go ahead and tell you quickly, Auburn handled business, took down number 5, Michigan, 78-65. Number 1-seeded Houston just barely hung on. They tried to let it go, and they tried to blow it a few times last night, but they did hang on to beat 4-seeded Purdue 62-60. Sparty, the fighting Deshaun Tate. Shout out Deshaun Tate one time. Held on to beat 60-0 Ole Miss, 73-70. Sparty's going to take on Auburn tomorrow in the Elite Eight. And then number 2-seed Tennessee looked very good, very impressive against number 3-seeded Kentucky, 78-65. The Volunteers going to take on the 1-seeded Houston Cougars tomorrow. And then, like I told you, Florida, number 1-seeded Florida about to take on number 3-seeded Texas Tech. Now, and number 1-seed Duke and number 2-seed Alabama. The fighting Mike Johnson's going to do battle with the Duke Blue Devils. Cooper Flagg in the Blue Devils later on today. So a lot of good action. The Braves in action as well. 7-10 first pitch. Spencer Schwellenbach. Schwelle going to go up against Randy Vasquez as the Braves are still looking for their first win of the season. 0-2 to start the season. Not just because of the bullpen, by the way. We talked about this first segment of the show. And now, a little over an hour ago, it's also the Braves only hitting 1-for-16 runners in scoring position in their first two games. Both starting pitchers, okay, but not great. Both went 5 innings, gave up 3 runs. So there are other fingers to point as well, too. There are other areas of the Braves to blame when you talk about why they have started the season 0-2. But I will not debate that the bullpen is the main one and the main thing to blame so far for the Braves' 0-2 start. And they're 0-2 for the first time since starting 0-4 back in 2021. So if there's any silver lining, hey, in 2021, started 0-4, but ended up winning the World Series. I ain't trying to put 2 and 2 together, but we'll see. Hey, you never know. I'm not saying starting 0-4 is always the way to win the World Series, but it's worked for the Braves before, and history tends to repeat itself, so why not again? You know what I'm saying? But that's kind of just an overall update of what's going on with the NCAA tournament and Braves baseball. Atlanta United as well, too, before we hit some NFL headlines, taking on NYCFC back here at home in the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Just got done talking to host of the Five Stripes Countdown, Abe Gordon. And we previewed their matchup, the Five Stripes matchup with NYCFC with him, and had a little fun with him last segment as well. So thanks again to Abe Gordon for dropping by and tuning in and spending some time with us live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But right now, we got to talk some pigskin. We got to hit the gridiron. Let's talk some NFL headlines. All right. Deion Sanders changing his tone a little bit from when Shador first announced he was going into the NFL draft to now. Seemed like Deion kind of had some ideal landing spots for him, and he probably still does, but he's changed his public tone a little bit more now because it seemed like at first he was going to kind of help facilitate and kind of almost control as much as he could where Shador landed. However, now, apparently he's going to be happy wherever Shador Sanders is drafted. And I wonder if this comes from there being reports that Shador Sanders could possibly slide in the NFL draft. So now they're trying to make it up and be like, you know, Deion's like, no. I'm not trying to get him to go anywhere specific. Like, I don't care if it's the Giants, Raiders, or whatever. Like, I just want my son to just to be drafted, and I'll be happy wherever he goes, right? So it seems like he's changing his tone a little bit, but he says he's not trying to steer Shador Sanders to any specific destination in next month's draft and would be happy wherever his star quarterback's son is selected. This is what Coach Prime had to say. Quote, Shador has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams, so I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. And this is what Deion said in an interview with the Skip Bayless Show in a video that was posted on Wednesday. He continued by saying, quote, if it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization, end quote. So Deion, again, changing his tone a little bit from before. It seemed like he was once like, nah, I want him to go to a couple of specific spots, and if he don't end up in those specific spots, we're going to do something about it. Now he's just like, oh, you know, wherever, if it's New Orleans, Tennessee, New York, and wherever team he's a quarterback, you know, we'll be happy over here. I know what my son is capable of. I know what he's going to do, so it's all good. So, again, seems like he's changing his tone a little bit. But Bayless followed up by asking specifically if Deion would try to orchestrate where Shador Sanders is drafted. And Deion said, no. Because that's not God's will right now. I want Shador to do what he's consistently done, excel against all odds. I like the hating. I like the naysaying. I like ignorance because it makes us feel better about what we do, and it gives him another chip on his shoulder, end quote. So he's flipping the script a little bit now. He's changing the narrative. So, look, I think this should have been kind of the message all along than what it was at first, but it is what it is, and I do think possibly some of this is coming from, again, rumors, reports out there. The word on the street is Shador has a chance to slide in the NFL draft, so we'll see what happens. One thing I also teased before break, a very deserving head coach gets a very well-earned extension. Ravens, John Harbaugh, their head coach, John Harbaugh, agrees to a 3-year extension. He's now going to be the Ravens head coach through 2028. This deal comes when Harbaugh, at 62 years old, was entering the final year of the contract he signed back in March of 2022. Ravens have never let him start a regular season on the final year of his contract since he was hired in 2008. So obviously this was a priority for them. He is the team's all-time winningest head coach with an 185-115 record over 17 seasons. Obviously, he's helped the Ravens get to a Super Bowl title back in 2012. 12 playoff bursts that he has with the Ravens are the second most in the league behind Andy Reid, who has 14 since Harbaugh has arrived in Baltimore. Second longest tenured NFL coach behind Steelers' Mike Tomlin, who completed his 18th season in Pittsburgh. No other coach has been with his current team for more than 12 years. So the extension is what we expected. Nothing crazy. Unfortunately, Baltimore season ended with a 27-25 divisional round loss in Buffalo, obviously in late January. And John Harbaugh then wasn't worried about his status, and obviously he ain't worried now. The biggest thing for the Ravens is they just got to find a way to get over that hump. get over that Chiefs hump, get over that Bills hump, get over that AFC divisional hump. Now, they did make it to the AFC title game not last year, but the year before that, I think they lost to the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. So they've gotten to the championship game and been on just knocking on the door of that Super Bowl, but they got to find a way to get in the big game and find a hopefully a way to win another one. Because, again, 2012 is over a decade from now, so we'll see. But Ravens did the right thing. I mean, you're not going to fire John Harbaugh. You're not going to do that. There's no other better place to go. There's no other better coach available. So they did what they were supposed to do, and they kept their guy now through 2028. So congratulations to John Harbaugh. Real quick, it was the Bills cornerback, one of the Bills cornerbacks, Christian Benford, gets a bag, 4 years, $76 million extension. So he, at 24, was entering the final year of his rookie deal, now under contract for the 2029 season. I'm just saying this, even though this contract isn't specific to this, but I'm glad A.J. Terrell got signed when he did because, you know, now these cornerbacks out here getting this money. But, again, when you talk about Benford, his now average annual value is only making him tied for 13th among cornerbacks. So, not that contract specifically, but it just reminds me that I'm glad the Falcons and Terry Fontenot signed A.J. when he did, because these other cornerbacks out here got paid handsomely, and they would have been having to go over that if they wouldn't have paid AJ yet. So I'm glad they paid him when they did. All right, those are some NFL headlines for you. If we got time before Grill and Dylan, we might go back to one that I thought was a good story about the NFL draft as well, and a guy who could be the number one overall pick, probably won't be, but could be. He was making his claim to the number one overall pick, but we might have time to get that. Get to that before Grillin' Dylan, which is coming up next. So you know what that means. We can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. Music, movies, life, sports. If you want to tell me if you're a late bloomer at something, we can talk about that. You want to talk about the Braves, we can do that. NCAA tournament action on the men's or the women's side. By the way, Texas Tech and Florida have tipped off. Texas Tech, the Red Raiders, are up 9-5 right now over Florida, but that game just getting started. Still 16:45 to go left in the first half. But music, movies, life, sports, Braves, Atlanta United, as you're going to hear from Abe Gordon and the Five Stripes countdown coming up in 14 minutes. Anything you want to get into, we can do it next. Phone lines are open. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. Grill and Dylan is coming at you next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Saturday. Just a couple of minutes left as we're taking you up till 6:30. And that is when you'll hear from Abe Gordon yet again on the Five Stripes Countdown. He's the host of the Five Stripes Countdown. He was kind enough to join us earlier in the show, 5:40, as we gave you a little preview of Atlanta United's matchup with NYFC in Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight. Atlanta United, the Five Stripes, Vamos ATL. They're looking for their second win of the still very, very young season. So hopefully they can get that done tonight against a NYCFC team. And look, I'll say this quickly about Atlanta United. I know we have not gotten the results that we have wanted to as Five Stripes fans. However, Atlanta United has played way, way better than what their record currently indicates. They just got to do a better job of finishing in the final third. They got to get Miguel Almiron and everybody else down low in that final third. Got to get on the same page and make sure Latte Lath and company, they all got to make sure they are communicating a little bit better and making sure they are finishing, putting those balls in the back of the net. So hopefully they can do just that tonight and get their second win of the young season here tonight against NYCFC. The Braves, they are taking on the San Diego Padres yet again as they continue their opening four-game series in San Diego against the Padres, looking to finally get that first win of the season as they lost Game 1, 7-4, a loss last night, 4-3. Bullpen has been an issue, but they're also 1-for-16 in these first two games when hitting with runners in scoring position. That dog won't hunt. And also, too, starting pitching wasn't great, but it's been okay. Both Chris Sale and Reynaldo Lopez went 5 innings and both gave up 3 runs in their first outings of the season. So that could be better, and hopefully Spencer Schwellenbach is good. The Padres will put out Randy Vasquez, and he'll be on the mound getting the start for the Padres. tonight. That game, 7:10 first pitch, by the way, on Big Fox. So you'll be able to watch that, even if you aren't with FanDuel Sports Network or anything like that. But Braves trying to get their first win of the season. Got to find a way, hopefully, to at least get a split with San Diego, and then we'll see what they do against L.A. Hawks. Not back in action until tomorrow. They're taking on the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. That'll be a big game for the Hawks. All of them are big now as they try to hold off Orlando, who's nipping at their heels, only a half game behind the Hawks. The Magic are for that seventh seed in the East. So hopefully the Hawks can get a win against the Bucks tomorrow. So, and then we got, of course, NCAA tournament action happening right now as number one seed of Florida is taking on number three seed of Texas Tech. Florida just took the lead 17-16, still very early, obviously, in the game, still very early in the first half. You also have Elite Eight action as far as – actually, this – oh, yeah, Duke-Alabama is going to happen tonight as well. Number one-seeded Duke taking on number two-seeded Alabama. On the women's side, UConn going to take on Oklahoma and USC going to take on Kansas State. Earlier, TCU behind Haley Van List, 26 points, beat number three-seeded Notre Dame 71-62, and Texas, number one-seeded Texas, beat five-seeded Tennessee, final score of 69-57. So those two programs will be moving on to the Elite Eight. So we'll see how that fares there. I do want to mention one quick thing, and we'll get to Grill and Dylan here in a second. Phone line is open, 404-726-0929. We did talk about the Braves and their struggles. Well, two Braves pitchers that left Atlanta for some other landing spots, at least they haven't started off hot. Max Fried and Charlie Morton's debut with their new teams, combined 8 innings pitched, 10 runs total, 8 of them earned, 14 hits. Neither one of them made it out of the 5th inning. So Max had a struggling debut against with the Yankees, and his defense did let him down a little bit, but still, his command wasn't great. And Charlie Morton, he just got pummeled. They were knocking the ball around on Charlie. I don't know what else to say about that, but that was a tough one for Max and Charlie to start off. But all right, while we got a few minutes here left before we hand things off to the Five Stripes Countdown, let's go ahead and get to Grill and Dylan. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. We can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. Music, movies, life, sports, whatever you want to get into, we get into it right now. While we got a couple of minutes, let's go ahead and head out to South Fulton and talk to the Chief. What's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief?
Not much. You know, just vibing out here on a Saturday, Chief. You know the vibes.
Oh, you know, I told you, whenever you on, if I can get to you, I'm calling.
I appreciate it, man. Whenever I can get to you, I'm getting to you as well.
Yes, sir. So the whole thing with the whole peaking and you were talking about how you're young and, you know, how you peak at the certain time.
Yeah, you know. Right. You're a late bloomer in some things, Chief.
Yeah, you or saying you're about 6'2 or 6'3, that's the same height I was when I was, 12 or 13 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I was dunking a basketball dealing when I was 13 years old.
Nice.
So that right there, I didn't have a problem with the basketball. My problem was that awkward age of middle school when I just couldn't get the girls to be interested in me. I was 16 years old before I really got that confidence. I mean, I had a girlfriend here and there. But
yeah.
When I was 16, between 16 and 21,
You started killing them.
They're killing them, Dylan. Killing them. Yes, sir. Anyway, I'll talk to you next week, champ.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week, Chief. Shout out to my guy, Chief, calling up from South Fulton, always bringing the good vibes. And yeah, man, that's the thing. Some people it's earlier than others, but at one point you just hit that age where it's like, all right, I got my swagger. I got my game. As the kids call it now, I got my riz. And, you know, you figure out how you approach girls and women, and you figure out how, you know, your personal way of trying to woo them, whether it's being funny or, you know, extra charismatic or romantic or whatever the case may be, is, you know, you find your way and you kind of find your lane that you get in. But that is my time, y'all. I appreciate y'all tuning in to an extended version of the Hometown Take. Like I told you before at the start of the show, you want to listen to me Monday through Friday every day. I'll be on 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. And if you're not up that early, guess what? All you got to do is download the free Odyssey app and you can listen to me whenever, just like you can do with all the other great radio stations here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Five Stripes Countdown with Abe Gordon is coming up next as Atlanta United, vamos, vamos, ATL. They're going to try and get their second win of the young season against NYCFC in the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'll be back Monday, 5 a.m. sharp. Be there or be square. Until I talk to y'all then, peace.